Gospel according to John. John's Gospel begins, of course, with the prologue on the Word become flesh and the testimony of John, and then the announcement that here is the Lamb, and then Jesus calls his first disciples. And then, all of a sudden, there's this party. Listen now to good news. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here ends the lesson. Pray with me, please. Open to us and reveal the glory of your Son to us this morning, O Lord. Allow us to feel the wonder and to know the joy of your presence and of your abundance, through the same Christ. Amen. Come to the party. Those are certainly welcome words, words we like to hear, aren't they? Being invited to a party means that there's something to celebrate. There's a reason to get together for a good time. And when the invitation to a wedding comes, well, it means that love has drawn two friends to a new level of relationship. A wedding brings a man and a woman together and opens the possibility of new life, which is why in the Greek Orthodox Church there is the custom of the stephano, or the crown, where the couple is crowned as part of the ceremony to signify that they are from henceforth king and queen of creation, that they are privileged to co-create life with God. Jesus and his mother were invited to a wedding at Cana. The Gospel of John is the only one to record it. And John comments that his party was where Jesus did his first sign. Like most things in the fourth Gospel, there is a great deal intended under each statement. To say that this was the first of the signs means that while there are other signs yet to follow, this one sets the tone. So from the outset of his ministry, Jesus reveals a God of abundance, a God who celebrates, a God who gives life. Jesus and his mother come to the party, and she overhears the news. The wine has run out. In soon to be 28 years of ministry, I've done a lot of weddings. And I have attended a fair number of wedding parties, and parties in general for that matter. So I can say with pretty assured confidence that such an announcement would tend to pour cold water on any party. That if there was a good party going and somebody said, "They've run out of wine," people would go, "Ah," and the next thing you know, there'd be no party. Now, having observed this debacle, Jesus' mother goes to her son, pulls him aside and says, "They have no wine." Now, while I would love to talk more about the exchange that goes on here, because Jesus, when he says, calls her woman, he is not being disrespectful, nor is he being dismissive, as some intimate. But I can't do that because of time, so we'll come back again another time. This will come around another 3 years or so. But there is a point here that I think that the storyteller theologian John Shea points out beautifully, picking up on this whole theme of co-creation. And this is what he writes. "The wedding symbolizes how God and people are united in love to co-create spiritual life. The mother of Jesus is the spokesperson for the people side of this divine human relationship. She is humanity aware of its lack, conscious that it cannot live to the fullest without continual communion with God. So she speaks to Jesus, the God side of the divine-human relationship, the haunting and poignant words of all human insufficiency. They have no wine. Humans have lost their union with God, and by implication, their communion with one another. Without this spiritual union, the wedding of life cannot continue. The answer to the question, what concern is this to you and me, is everything. The very reason for Jesus being is to supply wine for the imperiled marriage of divine and human life. The mother of Jesus knows who to come to when the wine runs out. Now, even though, as he points out to her, it is not his hour, it is not the fullness of time for him, still he acts. I mean, after all, Mary was a Jewish mother. And he acts to demonstrate God's abundance in the midst of life, even where we only see scarcity or we only see need. God sees abundance. I read something by James McBride Dabbs that unfortunately reflects on how many folk view our Christian faith as a less than abundant, less than joyful, less than relevant experience in day-to-day life. Reflecting on life in his youth in rural South Carolina, this is what Dabbs wrote. Religion was a day and a place. Religion was Sunday in the church. Almost everything else was life. Religion was a curious, quiet, and inconsequential moment in the vital existence of a country boy. It came around every week, but it didn't seem to have much to do with the rest of life, that is life. Now, the first sign at Cana tells us that if people have that view, it's not because God hasn't and not because God doesn't try to reach to them and change that viewpoint. The water into wine is more than Rowan Atkinson's wickedly humorous reading of this gospel in which Jesus is asked if he hires out for parties. If you've never seen it, go on YouTube, because it is hilarious. I mean, Rowan Atkinson makes a wonderful vicar. What that first sign, and I think God is amused by those kinds of things. It's what we used to call in the seminary being judiciously irreverent. Now, what that very first sign at Cana says is that God wants to have much to do with life. God wants to be in our everyday. God wants us to understand that there is to be joy found in the everyday, and that Sunday, this coming together, is simply our day to give God thanks for all of it. All of it. You see, one of my favorite church fathers, Irenaeus, said, God's glory, human beings fully alive. God's glory, human beings fully alive. Human beings living in the abundance and the love and the wonder that God made us to have. Cana is the foreshadowing of what will be proclaimed by Jesus in his teaching and in his life. When he says in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Or, as it says in the King James, and have it more abundantly. That's why those six empty stone water casks speak volumes, 120 to 180 gallons. They were intended for ritual cleansing and for making the outside clean. But instead, what happens? Out of that most common, most ordinary thing bubbles forth the best wine a party ever knew. And just as each of us, ordinary, common things, can have the water of life bubbling up from within us, that's how those casks bubbled with, as the psalmist said, wine to gladden the heart. Our Christian faith, dear ones, isn't about scarcity, but about abundance. It's not about emptiness, but about fullness. If God can be so joyful, so loving, so generous, how can we not be as well? Robert Hodgkin, a theologian at the University of Chicago, said something quite profound. He said, Christians ought to be celebrating constantly. We ought to be preoccupied with parties, banquets, feasts, and merriment. We ought to give ourselves over to veritable orgies of joy because we have been liberated from the fear of life and the fear of death. We ought to attract people to the church quite literally by the fun there is in being a Christian. In other words, we're supposed to be more like Pooh and Piglet and a whole lot less like Eeyore. Okay? We're supposed to be celebrating the merriment of life rather than walking around going, oh, well, now I've got to be kind. That is not what it was meant to be. So I say to Hodgkin, ever so true, amen, preach it. Because Jesus' ministry began at Cana at a party. At a party. And our lives, our ministries, remember what it says on the back of the green sheet? The ministers of this church, its members, assisted by the clergy. Because we are, all of us, ministers of God's good news. We should reflect the abundance. We should reflect the love. We should reflect the abundance that Cana represents. So today I invite you, as we do the business of this church, to come to the party and live as though we really believe the grace revealed at Cana, the divine desire for communion, for relationship with humanity, that we believe it's real. Live that love and live that abundance that Jesus revealed. Come to the party by living the abundance every day. Be gracious, be kind, be unselfish, be other-centered, and be concerned for the common good. Come to the party. Live that life. And see the difference that it can and will make in a world that seems to be always running out of wine and that keeps missing the fact that the good stuff is so close to hand. Come to the party. Come to the party. Amen.